Happy Friday. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another episode of DU Real with Jackie and Amanda. And we're just laughing about technical and user errors. You know, Jackie was talking about a technical error, I was talking about a user error, but you know, what's really the difference? The shit's not going the way you thought. How are you doing, Jackie?
You know, I'm a little hungover, to be honest with you. But I just had I went to Denny's and I had a full breakfast with the classic sampler. So I had some fucking mozzarella sticks, some wings, some fries, and then I had an omelet with hash browns and a cold brew. So I'm feeling much better. But yeah, a little tiny bit queasy for sure. But excited to be here for another DU Reel and to see where the fuck this conversation goes. This is honestly so much fun just to show up and yap and see what comes out. It's a fun experiment, and every day it's something new. And yeah, it's fun to record it and be able to reflect back on all of these spontaneous moments as well. And just shooting the shit. It's just fun in and of itself.
Absolutely. It is. I do look forward to it and just finding out, because there's no prep like for the Friday DU Reels. There's no prep. Sometimes it's a little prep for episodes. Our classic episodes, because we might be talking about a specific topic or we might have a guest. And so you research what's their social media handle, right? There's a little bit of prep, you know. But for the DU Reels, it's like no prep at all. So I love that. And it's so against one of my older tendencies, which is prep, prepare, think, plan, you know. And so not prepping, I'm just like, are we being professional? You know, it's like for this, yeah, not prepping is extremely professional for this environment, and it's going against my training. So there's like a little bit of an internal conflict that's like, no, prep, bullet points, stop.
Oh, same. Yeah, I was totally that person who wanted to have note cards for a presentation at some point in my life and just thinking through every little detail as if I could possibly know what the situation I was so nervous about was going to be like. And even with this, that tendency is still there. I'm like, okay, well, what are some things I can talk about? I do this less now. I used to, when we first started doing this podcast, I would prep a little bit more and think about it beforehand. Like, okay, so what have I been thinking about recently? What have I been going through recently? But more recently, it's just, I just show up and all that stuff is still there. And honestly, I feel like I surprise myself, and what comes out of my mouth is usually a way that I had never thought to describe what I had been going through before. But I'm like, oh yeah, that is very honest and true to what I have been going through, because I'm just allowing myself to express as I'm going through it. And so of course it would be honest, because it's not trying to be curated. It's just, I gotta keep talking. So let's I mean, the only thing I really have to talk about is my own experience, because that's all I've ever known. And that doesn't require any curation or preparation to do. I'm doubting my ability to play the part of Jackie. Or I think it's because deep down, maybe I recognize that I'm holding on to an idea of somebody that I'm trying to be, and that's effortful. And if you're trying to be something, that requires preparation. But if you're just showing up as you are, it's a lot more vulnerable, but it's so much more authentic, and it really helps you build that faith in yourself to just be whatever the fuck you are. It's like, oh wow. And I also relate to the feeling of, am I being professional? Do I just not care very much? Or it's not even that. I mean, specifically for this, I care, and that's why I don't prepare. I care about me building faith in myself and, you know, proving my own assumptions or limitations wrong. Because apparently I can just show up and record a podcast, and that doesn't require any sort of preparation unless you're trying to control the outcome.
Mm-hmm. I like that. You know, it doesn't take any preparation to show up as yourself. You know, it only takes preparation, curation, when you're trying to be something or you're trying to present a certain character. And we were talking about that when we were recording our episode yesterday, just about being honest, you know, and I talked about, you know, how, you know, I hated sharing. Like I was being vulnerable. I was being honest with myself and I fucking hated it. And I was honest about, and it wasn't that I hated that I was being honest. I was hating how that honesty was going to be perceived. And there's no way for me to know. And there's no way for me. And then to be, you know, to take it another step further, I also hated it because I already judged it. I already judged it as being messy, as being unprofessional, as being needy and dependent. And, you know, all these things that in my brain, I have such a negative connotation to, because leaning on people and having their support is not something that's really encouraged. And in my own personal experience, you know, getting help was weaponized later. Somebody would help me, friend or family or associate, you know, if we don't want to put them into those other two big categories. And then it would be used against me later. Oh, well, you remember that time that I helped you? And so I ended up wanting to say, you know, well, fuck your help, because your help isn't help if you're going to, if it has an exchange that's due later, or it's a transaction. Your help isn't help if it's a transaction and you're looking to get something out of it later. And I hated that. I hated being, you know, my vulnerable times being used against me to like ransom a certain service or a task to be done by me later. And so I was like, fuck that, I'll just do it myself. But then that hyper independence, you know, is also not healthy. And it carries a lot of weight with it. So, you know, I talked in the episode yesterday about, like, you know, being honest with friends, but that was an opportunity for me to truly be honest with myself, that, you know, that there's many reasons why I don't share. And there's many reasons why I share what I do and how I share it. So there's just so much, there's so many layers to it. And it's all worth taking a look at, and taking a look at why, you know, there's this habit, this tendency to judge ourselves. And it's just because we think that how we show up isn't good enough. And I still feel like I struggle with that. And that's okay too, because it's feeling like less of a curse the more I accept it as just being something that's also on the table. You know, like it's on the table to get caught up and to want to be something and to judge yourself and to judge the way that you come across. And no one else is doing that, right? Like I had a whole meltdown, like an hour time span. But on the episode, it catches like the last 20 minutes of my meltdown, you know, because it was just like, all right, I'm done crying. You know, like it's already, like it's over with. Like I was crying about bills, and so it was like, okay, well, the bills are paid, so it's like, okay, well, like, all right, like let's move forward. And so that's why today my name, I listed it as just moving. I didn't even put forward, because I was like, even that is like, you know, trying to present something. It's like, I don't know if we're moving forward, backwards, sideways, in circles, spirals, I don't know, man, but I feel like I'm moving, and that's why I chose that particular name today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all always constantly moving, even like cells and atoms and fucking molecules. Everything is constantly vibrating. And it's funny because we're always moving, but we're always here at the same time. But here is constantly changing and it's never the same. So it's like everything moving, swirling, vibrating, but in place. It's very trippy. But I relate a lot, Amanda, to like still trying to present myself in a certain way. And so that's why this podcast has been so amazing for me personally. Like, it's really helped prove to myself that, like, showing up authentically, even though you don't know and you don't feel like you have as much of control over how you're perceived, like, you've never had control over how you were perceived. And there's so many ways that you could be perceived, even if you're acting in the exact same way, because it's just depending on the person that's perceiving you completely. Like, they're not even seeing you. They're seeing themselves and what you reflect back at them. And their perception of you is very dependent on their relationship with themselves and where they're at. Because even if you're, like, as free and open and unproblematic as possible, like, somebody might have an issue with that because they can't, because they want to be like that, and they can't because they're still holding on to all this shit. And so, like, there's really no way to win. Like, there's no way to have everybody perceive you positively. But that was definitely my goal for a lot of my life. Like, I was constantly, like, gauging the people around me, trying to assume what they wanted from me, and then almost subconsciously adjusting my behavior to, like, not cause any issue with them. And something I've noticed as well is that what I share, like, the parts of myself that I talk about, the things in my life that I bring up, like, the things that I'm going through, I very much curate the way I present myself to the person I'm talking to, and without even really trying to do it. And I'm like, it's so strange. And I catch myself and I'm like, why the fuck are you doing that? Or, like, there's some things that, like, I'm afraid to share with certain people. And so recently when I've, like, had something like that come up in conversation and I'm like, oh, I could share this, but I don't know how they're going to react to it, I've kind of just been letting it rip and just be like, yeah, fucking say whatever is on my mind. And, like, literally every single time I've done that, the person has not reacted the way I expected them to. Every single time. But of course, like, I should know that by now, because I've never really been correct with assuming how people would respond to things. It's just, like, a way for me to feel better about the uncertainty of everything, to be honest with you. And yeah, so that's just been interesting to observe in myself, but there's nothing wrong with it at the same time. Like you said, it's just one option that's on the table. No way of being or sharing yourself is really more authentic than any other. So it's really about your experience. And it feels good to just not really think about how I'm being perceived. So I've been trying to lean into that more. like there's nothing wrong with curating myself per se, but I just don't enjoy it. I've realized that it's more of a burden on my experience than what it's worth. Like, it doesn't really help me in the ways that it used to, or the way I used to think it did, but it never really did. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. I laughed, you know, many times, but I definitely laughed when you were like, there's no winning. And then I thought, but there's no losing, right? There's always an option. There's always something in the moment that you're in that you can make the most of, right? So it's like, what am I ever really losing? You know, my preference, not getting my way, boo fucking who, Amanda? Like, you know, like I give myself time to cry and then I'm like, all right, wrap it the fuck up. We got shit to do, you know? And so this is exactly how I talk to myself, because so much time goes into crying. So much time goes into, like, woe is me. And these circumstances. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't actually do anything besides keep you on that step. And I went for a walk yesterday after our call, and I felt like I wanted to move, you know, like I shared, you know, being uncomfortable and having something not go my way, being visibly upset about that, sharing that feeling. And then once that was done and we talked about it and we wrapped up our episode, I went for like an hour and a half walk, totally unexpected, because I found like this path and there was, I had gone like a little bit into the park that's near my house. And then I walked into it and then I saw this path and I was like, are we going to go? Fuck it, we're going to go. And so we went down there and it's like getting dark. And I was like, oh shit, maybe this is not the time to be exploring the park for the first time as it gets dark. So I turned around, but I went on this grand adventure like through this park, and then I found this lake and I was like walking around the lake and it was like there was a river connected to the lake. I was like, where was this? And I was like, this has been here the whole time, Amanda. It's not like the lake sprung up now because you're done crying in your fucking princess tower, you know, like now that you've come down, you know, survey the lands. And it was just like this path has always been here. These options have always been here, but I didn't explore them because I was so caught up in being in my apartment and doing certain things to be professional, to be polished and curated. And I'm missing out on what's right in front of me, what's right under my nose. And I didn't take that moment to beat myself up. I was like, oh shit, this is a great reminder. Go on more adventures, like go on more, you know, one person adventures and explore what's around you, because you just never know. And so many times I hear people saying like, oh, I need to move out of my town or I have to move to this new place. And when I was first thinking about getting a tattoo at 19, one of the first things I had thought about was getting this quote, and I didn't end up getting it, but the first one that I had considered for a tattoo was very often a change of self is needed more than a change of scenery. Because so often we think it's my environment. My environment is holding me back. My environment is keeping me caged. And that may be true to some degree, but that's not the only thing that keeps us caged. It's us. We hold ourselves back more often, not always, but more often it is the self that keeps itself contained more than its environment. And so, you know, I loved that quote because it definitely reminded me that like I could bring my problems everywhere if I bring the mindset that creates those problems. So moving from city to city is not going to fucking help me if I keep being, you know, if I keep getting in the way of making the most of where I am.
Yeah, that's such a great reminder because it's so easy to forget that and like play the victim, but really, your perception of the environment is like a perception of yourself. It's so completely interrelated. And yeah, if you're waiting for external circumstances to line up in a way that's perfect or ideal for you, or, you know, exactly fitting your preferences, you're setting yourself up for disappointment and conflict. And that's the friction that causes all the suffering, is like, you know, holding expectations in our mind. Because if you're not expecting anything, then whatever happens is okay. But as long as you're attaching to expectations on things and it's not going your way, you're going to feel some type of way about it. You're going to feel in conflict. And that's really all it is. Like, it's just from us resisting what is. And there's really no point to doing that. It's so funny because it's like, I mean, the only point is to feel a little bit better, but it's not really feeling better. It's literally just in that moment feeling better, but long term, it keeps your suffering around. Like, if you can just practice in every sort of situation, even if you do have an expectation or preference and like it doesn't go your way, just sort of being like, well, okay. Like that's it. Just be like, all right, fine. Let me deal with it. Like, of course it wasn't going to be that way. I'm not going to waste any more time clinging on to something that I know isn't real anymore. Like, the situation didn't turn out how I thought. What am I going to do? Like, cry about it? Sometimes, yeah. But then eventually, like, crying about it doesn't do anything. And you have to wipe your tears and fucking suck it up and deal with the situation anyway. Like, you're still going to have to deal with it. So it's funny as fuck once you see it for what it is. And when you're not beating yourself up for doing that, because I can do that as well. But laughing at yourself is the sweet spot, because like, you're not taking things so seriously and you could just really keep things light. And then you sort of just start sliding through life. Like, it feels like you're more slippery because you're not holding on to shit, you know, like going down a water slide and like, instead of dragging your hands against the wall, trying to slow down or cling on to like a part of the water slide that you thought you should be in, you're just like, wee! And you're just going, and there's no effort required. And it's a lot more just enjoyable than it was to fucking try and hang on. There's no use in hanging on. What is that fucking saying? Let go or be dragged?
Yes. Yes. I love that. Just like, just oil me up with acceptance and just shoot me down the slide. Oh my goodness. I love these analogies. I love using our imagination. And that is something that's not as encouraged. It's like, oh, be creative. But don't like use your imagination like a kid. It's like, no, they have the best. That's the best. Like, that's one of the best periods of time where I feel like people are so tapped into being creative and being imaginative, thinking outside of the box, because they don't even know the box is there. They're like, oh, there's a box? I didn't even notice. I was just doing my thing, thinking and creating and just adapting as I was going forward. It's, you know, I've been recently feeling like I am not making the best choices. And I don't mean that I'm judging the choice I'm making. I'm almost admitting to myself that the choices that I do make, there's no way for me to know that that is the best choice, because I don't know everything. And if I don't know everything, then there's no way that I could know that a particular choice is absolutely better than another choice. I will pick choices, I will make decisions, but I don't as easily attach that's the best choice for Amanda like I used to. Like, I'm making the best choices for me. It's like, no, I'm guessing, and I am making choices based on what I know at the time, but I don't know everything, so I don't know how this is going to pan out. And so it feels like there's less weight attached to each choice, because I don't have the weight of, this is a do or die moment. If this is not the best choice, my life is going to go off the rails and I'm doomed. You know, it doesn't feel like the choices feel that heavy like they used to, because I don't put that pressure on myself to make a decision that's not going to have any type of fallout.
Yeah. It's just reminding yourself that you don't know ever. You could just be like, okay, well, why would I sit here and try and think through everything as if I could possibly know? Like, just choose something. And I feel like I said in our episode yesterday, like, even not making a decision, even not acting is a decision. It's an action. Like, you can't avoid having to make a billion decisions a day. And I like that perspective you have of, like, not that you haven't been making the best choices, like as if what you're doing is wrong per se, but it's also like, okay, maybe this is habitual, maybe this is coming from a place that is attached to something, some sort of idea of myself, some sort of, like, I don't know. Or maybe it's just something you did a lot in the past and it is comfortable. Like, I think like 90% of our choices are just like comfortable, or like something we've tried in the past and it worked out. It worked out for us maybe once, and so we just continue to do it that way. Yeah. But that's ignoring everything else that's on the table. Just because, okay, this part is safe. I know what this is like. Everything else feels dangerous in the sense that, like, we can't know how it's going to be. But even that same choice that you make over and over again, it might not be the safe choice at a certain point, you know? And that's, I like talking about habits too, because like even moving your body in habitual ways, it puts wear and tear after a while. Like once you keep choosing the same thing, it's like a hinge on a door, like being overused, and it starts to cause deterioration. It starts to cause injury. And so switching it up and exploring something new, even though it's uncomfortable at first, is better in the long run, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like even choosing something and it ends up like blowing up in your face is better than continuing to do the same thing over and over, because at least you have more context, you know, at least you're seeing a little bit more of what you are and what's available to you. So even things like you said, you went on a walk and you found, you were like, this has been here the whole time. Like, I do that all the time too. Like I go on the same walk, it feels like, sometimes around my neighborhood. And I'm like, recently I've been switching it up and just sort of walking aimlessly.
I love it.
And and then I'm like, oh shit, this restaurant is here? Like, that's no way. Like, it's like, shit, I never knew. I never knew this park was here. Like, what? And there's so much possibility all around us. Like, physically, but also like within our experience, like switching up the way that we do things, like our habits, the way we eat, you know, the types of foods we eat, like whatever it is. Did I just say eat, like what we eat twice? I don't know.
I only heard it once, but maybe I only, my mind just like, we heard it once. We don't really need to register the second time. but I do like just looking at your habits and then giving yourself a break, right? So when you notice that your habits are very typical, it's like that's not just you, right? There's, you know, the way that our lives are structured, you know, work takes such a big amount of time. If you have to commute, that's another chunk of time that you don't have. And then if, you know, you've got to run errands and then you're tired, like we are, like the way that we have structured modern day-to-day living is fucking exhausting. All the hoops that we have to go through, all of the bureaucratic bullshit, all of that, like, fuck, man, it is not a surprise why we are exhausted. So exhausted that you don't go for a different walk, that you don't even go for the walk, let alone change up the walk. Like, it makes sense why we fall into so many of the same habits and choices, because there's really, it's difficult. It's difficult to be, you know, consistently spontaneous with the very structured and rigid society that we live within. So it's like, it makes sense, right? And I definitely want to bring that context in there, because it's so easy to judge your lack of spontaneity, the typical choices that you make. And when I had said before, like, you know, I'm not saying that I make the best choices. What I'm saying to myself is just, we're just making choices. I don't know how they're going to, I don't know what they're going to lead to. I don't know how they're going to unfold. I don't know who they're going to impact. I don't know how they're going to work out for me and my goals and dreams. I'm just making choices, man. And I'm making them as best as I can. But at the end of the day, I'm just making straight up choices. And it really doesn't serve me to judge whether that choice is good or bad, because there are choices that I thought that I called myself stupid for making that turned out to be amazing, that I bumped into a person or it led to learning a skill set that led to another opportunity that I became eligible for. And so the stupid choice that I judged turned out to be super fruitful, and choices that I thought were so practical and smart didn't do anything except just kind of keep me where I was. So it's like, you can judge your choices, but you don't even really know. You don't even really know what you're judging. It's just that what you can say, or what I have been saying, is just, I'm just making choices every day and I'm doing as best as I can. And my choices don't have to be judged as the best for them to just be, you know, what we happen to have decided. And so that's kind of been my mindset lately.
I like that. Yeah. We're just, there's no ability to control any sort of outcome And that's scary as fuck to say, because then it just feels like we're out here drifting. And that is kind of true, but that's only scary when you see yourself as separate and vulnerable. Otherwise, it's like, no, man, I'm just flowing with everything else. I'm just like one. I'm in the me soup and I'm just being me. And yeah, stir in the pot. But yeah, you can't even say with certainty that you're the one making the choices. And you can't say how the outcome of those choices will be, or mm-hmm. how it will ripple out. And then maybe like in 10 years, like you thought something was like the worst thing ever to happen. In 10 years, it ends up being the best thing that could have happened. Right? Like, and you just don't know ever. So like really thinking about it is kind of pointless. Like I think it really just comes down to I like thinking about myself. Like I just like my brain just needs something to do, and all it knows is itself. All I know is myself, so it's like the most logical thing, I guess, to overthink about. But it's funny, like if I were to like overthink about somebody else's life and how that would go, I would be just as inaccurate as I am about myself.
Yep.
Right. And I think I know myself so well, but no, I really don't at all. And there's so many things that are like in my blind spot because I think I know who I am. And they're so like, it just goes so far beyond my concept of myself. And so, yeah, when you see that for what it is, it's like, okay, damn, like, I really just am taking this shit way too seriously. Yeah, absolutely. We're 60% water. We need to go with the, isn't it like even more than that?
It could be, but it's just like, we're a lot of water. Go with the flow. Yeah. I was like, break the mental dam.
Yes. The
mental C4, break the dam. The dam is breaking.
Oh, exactly. No, exactly. Like the idea of yourself, and that goes for the self in both senses of the word, like me, Jackie, and also the way we think about the world reflects the way we think about ourselves. But like letting that go, you just see what you've always been, which is everything. Like, and oh my gosh. Yeah, and that becomes glaringly obvious to me when I are we allowed to talk about mushrooms on here? Like when I'm tripping, it's like it's very clear to me that like all the ways that I've been hard on myself and try to like force myself into a box like was unnecessary. And that's like breaking the mental dam. And then I just am able to be myself in a way that is so effortless and so like full. And I just feel everything just makes a lot more sense. But most of the time, like that default mode, like circle of thoughts that is just habitual is running in the background. And that can be very distracting from, you know, realizing actually how perfectly in sync and appropriate everything is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Everything really is so perfectly synchronous. And it's like, of course it has to be because everything is connected. And so, you know, I definitely went through a phase where I was looking at like angel numbers and getting caught up in all of that. And I loved it. I loved being like excited to see a number. And then it got to a point where it was just like, I was just noticing how perfectly everything worked out. Like yesterday, you know, getting surprise toll bills, and I worked a gig job and I made extra money, and so we had the extra money for the extra bills. Like that could not have timed out perfectly, and I still cried about it. I was still upset about it. Because I was like, no, I wanted to use that money to buy a new phone because my phone has been acting up and it's been infuriating me. And so I thought, oh, this is great. I've made a little extra money doing the side work. I'm going to get a new phone, come home, find out we're not getting a new phone. But we had extra money to pay extra bills. So like, that worked out perfectly, man. Like, I, as much as it's not going according to my preference, so fucking what? Things worked out. Things still worked out, despite the fact that I didn't like how it worked out. Still worked out. What is there to really be upset about? Not getting my way? Oh, well. You know, life continues. My being here still continues despite not getting my way. And that shows me that getting my way is not the foundation for my life. Being here is the foundation. Getting what I want is just sometimes a nice bonus, but then, you know, I can flip it and just start to appreciate that whatever shows up, I can make the most of. And making the most of my life is another thing that I want. And so that doesn't always have to tie with my preferences getting met. Making the most of my life is wonderful. And it feels beautiful and it feels like it's synchronous. You know, making the most of my life right now feels synchronous with my life. Like, so getting my way doesn't feel like it has to happen, right? Because just being here is enough.
Yeah. My experience of just everyday life has become really spiritual, and not in the sense of like spirituality, but just, it's not just the moments where you see angel numbers or when some crazy coincidence happens. Like, that is not like an isolated spiritual occasion in an otherwise like material, like solid universe. You know what I mean? All of like everything, even when you're at your 9-to-5 job, whatever, doing your little corporate work and being in a place that you would consider like very materialistic, not spiritual at all. Like, even that, it's all like your entire life, all of your experiences are opportunities for you to reflect and get to know yourself better. Yourself in both senses of the word, right? Like, yourself as an individual and yourself as the collective. And like, with that perspective, it's so much more natural to make the most of everything, because you understand that like you're kind of just along for the ride. And yeah, shit isn't going to go your way most of the time. And that doesn't need to be a super scary thought. Like, you can see that instead as like an opportunity to expand yourself, challenge yourself, like build faith in yourself. And there's always something that can be appreciated, even in seemingly the most painful or horrible experiences in our lives. Like, everything has its place, and it's kind of beautiful that we get to feel all these different kinds of things. And it all exists on a spectrum. Like, they're all required. Like, one side of the spectrum can't exist without the other. That's how duality works. So like, we can, when we have something painful, extremely fucking painful in our lives, we can be like, okay, well, I know I can feel pain to this depth, but the only reason I can do that is because I felt joy and love to this depth, right? And so when you're feeling down, you're like, okay, well, since I'm feeling this, I know at some point I'm going to feel high again. And like, when you're feeling on top of the world, like, you don't have to attach to that either, because you're like, yeah, this might not always last, but that's what is so precious about it. Like, you appreciate things so much more deeply when you're not trying to hold on to them. Like, that's, I think, the most beautiful thing about everything in life, is that it constantly changes. And like, we can't have anything forever, but at least we got to experience it once. And that's like such a gift. And every moment is a present right? Like, I love that it's called the present, but like, it is the present. Like, there's, it's so full and beautiful, and like, there's so much depth to this experience, and it feels blissful just to like lie there and like feel your body and like, like I have so many moments of that recently. Like I'll be in the most mundane of situations. I was in line at the DMV the other day.
Yeah.
And like, I was waiting outside in the sun and I was just like, like I had a moment of just like existential bliss, and everybody around me is like, you know, tapping their foot or like fucking complaining how long the line is or like scrolling on their phones. And like, I was on my phone too, but it's like, it's just when we stop distracting ourselves with thought, with external like stimuli, and you just allow yourself to sink into what is, like, it feels fucking good.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you brought up too that, you know, you appreciate things more, you know, knowing that you won't have it forever, because the minute that you try to like keep it, you're building mental walls around it. You're creating attachments, and now you've moved away from appreciating this thing that you enjoy to maintaining, to holding, to possessing. And that has a different energy. And, you know, and so it's like, yes, you may not have a friend, you know, a certain friend or a certain partner or a certain job, or you may not have, you know, you may not live, quote unquote, physically forever, but it's like, so what, you know, appreciate things fully. And it's hard to appreciate things fully when you're trying to keep it, when you're trying to attach to it and hold on to it. It's extremely hard. I'm not saying that it can't be done. I just have never experienced it firsthand to appreciate something at the same time as trying to keep it. It just feels like, you know, there's only one MVP, you know? And so it's like, I would introduce myself, or I would encounter something, and then I'd be like, oh, this is great. I want to keep this. Can I get like a lifetime supply? And it's like, opportunities don't work like that. People don't work like that. Like, life doesn't work like that. It's like, no, you enjoy it while it's available, while it's here, and you enjoy it fully. And then if and when it does get out of your life, or you no longer have access to it, I think back to those moments and I'm like, yeah, that person, maybe we don't talk anymore, but fuck, we had a great time when we were talking. Or, you know, maybe I'm not with that guy anymore, but damn, we had some great times. Like, we had the best times, you know, and I'm so glad that I enjoyed what I could. And so when I think back to those moments and opportunities and jobs and friendships and relationships, there's not a grief that I'm feeling. It's like, I made the most of it. So I'm happy that I was there. It makes me think of Shakespeare's line, you know, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. You know, and it's like, I loved and I loved fully. And I made the most of those people's time and my time at certain jobs, and I made the most of it. And so I don't feel remorse and grief and regret because I don't have it anymore. So, you know, that I definitely appreciate you bringing up, like, you can't, it's hard to appreciate things when you're trying to hold on to them.
Yeah, the image I'm getting is like holding a butterfly, and like, you know, a butterfly comes in, and if it lands on your palm, you're like, oh my gosh, this never happens. I'm going to hold on to it. You kill it. And then it's gone. Like, I don't know if this is a relatable experience, but I remember as a kid, like, finding bugs outside and like wanting to keep them as a pet and like putting them in a shoebox or a jar, putting them in my room, and then they die and I would be so crushed. And like, that was my lesson, you know, like, if you love something and you genuinely care about it, like, capturing it and holding on to it is not the like the kindest thing to do. And it generally ruins whatever experience it is you're trying to hold on to. Like, I, in my past relationships, you know, like, maybe at first the initial connection came from just appreciation. And like, that's why things are so exciting, I think, at the beginning. But then once like a label comes in, there's expectation, there's holding on, there's jealousy, there's like resisting the other person's growth because you feel like they're outgrowing you or something. Like you don't want things to change because you're so attached to this person or this situation.
Yeah.
And that's when it starts to sour. Like the more you hold on to something, like the more clear it becomes that like it's not going to last forever. And then you go through the state of denial, and eventually life forces you to let go because, you know, nothing is permanent. Mm-hmm. Even if you're like in a relationship with somebody for your whole entire life,
yeah,
one of y'all is going to die first, right? Like nothing lasts forever. And so it's sort of like let go or be dragged. And it's so much easier to just let go or not even attach in the first place. And then everything is just pure and light and like a lot more vibrant because you know it's not going to be there forever. And so you're paying more attention to it, appreciating it while it's there. And those relationships in the past where I realized that like, yeah, this, like we wanted to hold on, but this isn't going to work. So we just need to let go. Even though it was very difficult to make that decision initially, like reflecting back now, I'm like, I'm so happy I did that because that moment just exists now in the past. And we didn't hurt each other more than we needed to.
Yeah.
And there's no regrets about it just because it didn't last forever. Like I'm still so grateful that I got to experience that and I got to be close with that person for that time. And that was enough. I don't need anything more than that. Like my life and my experiences and my relationships are enough for me as they are because I don't need any of them. Mm-mm. And yeah, it's all gain. Like there's nothing to be lost, really. Like,
yeah,
everything is an opportunity and everything can be savored.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As you were talking, I thought of the quote, you know, when you like a flower, you pluck it. When you love the flower, you water it. And that very much symbolized the way that I used to view, you know, people and opportunities and jobs and just things. You know, it was like I plucked it to own it, to keep it. You know, I plucked it for my own preference. I plucked it for my own enjoyment. And it actually had nothing to do with actually appreciating the flower or the people in my life or the opportunities in my life. You know, and so now, you know, when I see like a legit flower, I don't feel the urge to pluck it. The urge now is to smell it, to revel in its beauty, and to savor the smell of the flower, maybe to talk to it and be like, oh my God, you are blooming today and I am loving it, you know? And I will probably say something along those lines. And then I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to see you again, but I'm so glad I got to see you today. I'm off. And then I'm off, you know? And so, you know, and that's my experience. That's my tendency now because, you know, I don't think that my enjoyment is the priority. I can still enjoy something, but I don't have to enjoy it so much. I don't have to hoard the experience, you know, for my particular enjoyment. It's like I can appreciate, and in that appreciation, there's enjoyment of the opportunities, the people, the friendships, the romantic relationships, and then I'm off, you know, because it's other than me and my individual experience, that's the only constant. And so that is what I'm always being, that's what I can always bring. That's how I can always show up to every moment is with me as me and to share that experience. And so I don't really need to hoard flowers and opportunities and time with people. It's like, no, the opportunity may present itself again. And when it does, we will make the most of it. And then if it doesn't happen again, it won't matter because we made the most of the opportunities that presented themselves and on that note, it's all gain. So there, it's very hard to lose. So when you had said like, yeah, there's no winning, and my mind went, yeah, but there's no losing, you know, because there's, how am I losing? I'm here. There's infinite opportunities on the table. I am here. I could go in any direction. I am here and I can make the most of it. And so how is that ever a loss? Even when I'm not getting my way, I end up telling myself like, all right, you can cry a little bit if you feel like it, but really get the fuck over it, because there is so much that remains after my preference is either met or not met. There is so much that's on the table. So it just feels like I'm finding less and less reasons to cry for very long, you know, and I think of the same, like, it's my party and I'll cry if I want it. I was like, fuck that. It's my party. I'll dance if I want to. It's my party. I will change the music if I want to. It's my party and I will make the most of it if I want to.
Yeah, I think a lot of our tendency to attach to situations rather than, like, you know, appreciating them, letting them be, making the most out of them is just because we assume that since we don't know what's going to happen in the future, like a situation like that might not present itself again. Like, that's why people hold on to relationships, because they're afraid they're never going to find love again. Right. But it's all constantly on the table. There will always be more to experience. So no situation or career or relationship or experience is the end all be all. And you can't really compare moments in any way that's meaningful in terms of value. So, like, they're all just as valuable. And so it's not worth it to, like, not make the most out of this current moment because you're attaching to one in the past or a theoretical one in the future that you, oh, okay, we shifted the view now.
That's right. We're doing a remix.
Yes. Oh my gosh. But yeah, Ray said, excited to hang with you both in California. I'm so fucking excited. It's like, barely 2 weeks at this point, like 12-13 days. I can't wait. Holy shit, it's gonna be, who knows what it's gonna be, but I'm fucking excited to find out. I'm just excited to show up and make the most out of every moment by not trying to turn it into anything, not trying to be anything. It's so nice. Like, there's nothing to do, nowhere to be except here and myself. And I'm already doing that all the time anyway. So there's so much less pressure to curate.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to hang out with you, Jackie, and Andrew and Ray and all the California retreat attendees. There are still two tickets left. So, you know, just a nice reminder that there's an opportunity on the table that is ripe for the picking, you know. So I love it, you know. It's funny whenever somebody asks me, like, you know, what's the podcast about? And they're like, oh, I checked it out. You know, is it about, like, self-help and personal development? And it's like, yes and no. It's, you know, definitely, you know, my response lately has been like, it's self-guided, you know, self-taught. You know, it's about self-teaching more so than anyone taking a stance of a teacher role or an authority figure, or, you know, because we certainly do not have anything figured out. You know, we don't know everything, and we're just moving forward. We're just living life and showing up as life. And so it's certainly not trying to take a stance that, like, we know what we're doing and so you should listen to us and you should do things how we're doing it. It's like, nah, man, we're just being honest about how life can sometimes feel incredibly overwhelming and incredibly inspiring. How sometimes you feel like you are running into a wall, and sometimes you feel like you're, like, walking on clouds. You know, just being honest about the full spectrum of life and how it feels to be our life. And so, you know, when people ask, like, is the podcast about self-help? It's like, to some degree, yes, but it's not that we're saying we know how to help you. It's that we're talking about how we're getting out of our own way and how that seems to be helpful in and of itself.
Yeah. It's funny to, or it's interesting to hear your description of it, because I think that's super appropriate. It's just like learning to have faith in yourself. The way I say it, I just say it's about existing and embracing uncertainty and navigating, you know, everyday life with that in mind. But we have a question here. How long is the retreat? It's 5 days, the 11th to the 15th. So yeah, and it'll feel a lot longer when you're there, because I don't know, time seems to slow down when you're not really fucking thinking about it.
Right. We don't check our phones. You know, no one's really watching TV or looking at their phones and keeping track of the time. The days kind of melt into one another. And so, yeah, the 5 days feel longer, but there are occasionally 9-day retreats, and those feel like taking a sabbatical from your regular life. You're like, all right, guys, I'll see you in a year, maybe two. You know, and you're not gone for a year or two, but it feels like a little bit where you're like, you go back home and they're like, I don't know you. It's like, motherfucker, you never did, but I'd be happy to introduce you to whatever's here right now. You know, so if you'd like to get to know this moment with me, let's explore it together. But it does feel like I took like a 1-year sabbatical after the first 9-day retreat, and the 5-day mini retreats, they feel like I took like a couple of months off. You know, mentally, it feels like I took like a couple of month break from my normal day to day. And so it's just amazing how much your perception, you know, how time is so relative to, you know, what you're focusing on. And so I love that, because sometimes minutes feel like they drag and sometimes minutes feel like they disappear. And so, you know, time really isn't as rigid as we treat it.
Yeah, talking about time just seeming to disappear. How the fuck have we been talking for 56 minutes at this point? Like
20 at most. Right.
I know. That shit just fucking flew. Oh my God, my light finally died.
That's it. The signs have been given. It's time to exit stage right. That's it. You know, no, I'm just kidding. I just love laughing at how things twist and turns, right? Because sometimes it'd be like, damn it, I paid for a good light. You should be on for hours on end. And it's like, the light's like, I did my best. Back up, motherfucker.
The light's like, maybe you should charge me, you stupid ass.
Oh my God, we're so hard on things, like inanimate objects. Oh my goodness. I do talk to all of the things around me. And sometimes I'm a little harsh, and sometimes I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. You know, I know you're doing your best. It's not you. I'm really taking out my day on you, and that's not right. Laptop. You know, so I'm gonna go for a walk and chill the fuck out, and I'm gonna go hug the tree downstairs, and then I should come back in a better and, you know, a more relaxed mindset. And I did, legit, like I said that in a laughing manner, but I legit do go outside of my apartment and I go to the trees in the neighborhood and I hug them. And I know people look at me and they think I'm strange, but it feels great. Sometimes I just want to like hug a tree and just have a moment and be like, you know, you're on the right path, tree. You're not stressing out about shit. You're here, you're growing, you're doing your thing. And I'm going to take a page out of your book, but not a legit page, because, you know, I'm not trying to cut you down. So I'm going to come up with a better analogy when I'm talking to you, but like legit just talking to the tree. And I also had read recently that, that it lowers your cortisol levels. If you legit hug a tree for 20 seconds or more, you reduce your cortisol levels. And so hugging trees is a legit way to, like, you know, relax and not stress yourself out a little bit. And it's free and the trees are everywhere. So like, make the most of it, hug a tree.
I love that. Yeah. Same thing for like lying on the ground or like putting your bare feet in the grass.
That's a good one.
And just connecting to the earth, like that, it's good for us. And that's a whole other conversation, you know, talking about like rubber soles and how like that kind of can leave us with sort of a frazzled energy where normally that would be reabsorbed into the earth.
Right.
So yeah, go hug a tree, go lay in the grass in the sun, ground yourself and just remind yourself, like, just like the trees and all of nature, you're growing exactly as you need to be. And that doesn't require your control. You're already doing it. And you're already perfect until you tell yourself you're not. So, yeah. And every situation you experience is perfect until you tell yourself that it's not. And it's funny that you talked about, like, yelling at inanimate objects.
Yeah.
This morning I was yelling at the Bluetooth in my car because sometimes it, like, when it connects, there's something wrong with it. And so, like, my song plays in a way that's, like, super skippy and it, like, really annoys me, and I couldn't figure out how to, like, fix it. I was like, fuck you, you fuck you. Like, and I was like, it really was just user error because I was impatient with getting my music on. And then I knew that the way that I did it, it was going to fuck up. And yet I still blamed the car.
Right. And the car's like, fuck you, I can't work under these conditions. It's so stressful.
Yeah. Right. So it's like everything that we're interacting with constantly is reflecting us. And there's no moment that's mundane or lackluster. Like, all of it is so intensely vibrant. And so, yeah, it's fun just reveling in the fucking beauty of all of that with you, Amanda, and with everybody and everything around us. It's just, I can't describe the feeling in my chest that it gives me of just, like, completion and satisfaction and just, like, awe. I think it's just awe.
Yeah, fuck yeah, it is. And, you know, I think this is a perfect place to wrap up our live show because, you know, the outdoors is calling my name and I'm going to go out there for another walk and just embrace being, you know, and I don't really have to think much harder about it, but I'm really glad that we are all reminding each other and life is constantly reflecting back to us. And sometimes those reflections are a reminder of not taking yourself too seriously, making the most of what you have, and just realizing that not getting your way is not the end of your world. If you can see that there's more to life, there's more to your world than just getting your way.
And on that note, we'll see you guys next week. Friday, same time, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Excited to... for you guys to hear our recent classic episodes as well. They've been really, really fun to record. And I feel like we're really reaching new depths with every episode. So it's been real. And have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you soon.